Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, wow, season preview episode.
It's here.
Brooklyn Nets 2021-2022 season preview. A special episode. We're going to draft. Brian and I are going to draft against each other the Nets' entire roster. And we're going to mix in season superlatives, a running bit. And if we're feeling frisky and Brian's not really ready for this, killer comparison, Squid Game characters to Nets players. We may do it.
But I haven't finished.
It's a crazy show. Right. And you know what happens.
Yeah, I basically figured it out.
To the Glue Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys. NetsDaily.com. The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. And I suggest everyone go on The Athletic right now. Alex Schiffer wrote a fantastic story about how James Harden and Steve Nash, this is a quote from James Harden, how they're twins. They really think about basketball the same way, and it's really a lovely story. And before we get going, this podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. You know, Brian, I really like like having like a little ad, just that like sentence ad.
That is nice. It feels very professional all of a sudden. It seems that's a real glow up for us.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And it's like DirecTV, you know, it's like a company.
How about you? How about you last week, Mike? You really, you went viral. You went a little viral, buddy.
Yeah, that was super great. So obviously last week, if you didn't listen to the show, we had Shams Charania on.
Yeah,
Shams broke news on the podcast about the fact that Kyrie's extension.
Shout out to Alex Sturm, who picked up the pull quote, knew how to do it, because I don't think we would have done it. I don't think we would have had that pull quote ready.
I know he's looking at colleges. Alec is, and he honestly should be teaching classes in aggregation.
Why go to college? You're already. Why go to college? You should be. Yeah, you're well on your way. That was the first time we've gone like kind of viral, or at least been like attached in a viral enough tweet to sort of get a sense of what that would be like. And what you find out is that it's just very international. That's when it's truly like just the Arabic starts popping up. You get some Portuguese in there. The Brazilian aggregators do their thing. It's like, wow, that's what it's really about. And I don't think we've ever had that kind of that experience.
Yeah. And I'll be like fully honest here. Was I refreshing the mentions? I was.
Yeah.
You know, I was digging
in. They were like, they're like, Mike, you're getting a lot of mentions. Do you want to do like the automation thing? And Mike's like, never.
I want us every single I want every single retweet. There's good actors and there's bad actors out on Twitter. Bad actor.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report, who didn't credit us.
Oh, shit.
Didn't
out.
Credit our show for breaking beef. The Kyrie news.
Real beef.
I will give credit, though. Sports Illustrated, the old guard of sports journalism, you know, at, like actually found my personal account and tagged me in their tweet, and they credited the Glue Guys. Yeah. And I said, I mean, it was, it's cool. It's why we did it's that fun. Interview.
Yeah.
So we get like, and Shams is super great. If anyone doesn't know Shams, he's just like a nice giving guy who
he's a giver.
Probably understands that the Glue Guys isn't like the premiere of basketball podcast, but he came on and helped us out.
He wants to make it that way though. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah. Wow. What an exciting, Brian, we are recording this at 12:14 PM Eastern Standard Time on Monday afternoon.
Just a day away, Mike. Just a day away now.
Just a day away. Isn't that a Les Mis? Is there a Les Mis?
Never seen it. Never will. Day, da, 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 da,
da. You're not a musical guy?
I saw Newsies. It was on. Newsies was on around the house quite a bit.
Christian Bale. Christian Bale. Big was
Christian
a big
Bale
part of your...
family. Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're one more day, and this it is so exciting. I mean, you know, as much kind of like crap we've had to dig through with all the Kyrie non-vaccination, his Instagram feed. Brian and I at one point were thinking about doing a rewatch of his Instagram spiel.
That was,
and we're just
that's more for the TikTok, I feel like. That's where our most toxic content goes. Yeah, that's the toxic dump.
It would not have been fun. And like so, and now we are here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Kyrie because of the structure of the show, but we are really going to celebrate the upcoming season of Nets basketball,
yeah,
because
that's what
this is the most exciting entry point into a season in decades for mm-hmm. the Nets, I guess. And so what we're going to do is we're going to draft teams. Brian is going to draft one team. I'm going to draft the other, just picking from Nets players. The sort of there's no real like basis like, oh, you're drafting the best actual on-court production. It's like a mix of excitement.
Not?
Why excitement
thought,
on court.
I thought this was like
love.
A de facto power ranking. Like I want my
it's
team to
de facto
play your team.
Power ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fun. If, it's like, fun if you want to include like EQ into the mix. Now, knowing what yes. we know now about how important yeah. EQ is, jeez.
Kyrie's on the list. Kyrie's yeah, on this. There. So that's, it'll be interesting to see where he goes.
That'll be interesting.
And as we're doing that, we're also going to mix in our season superlatives, a long running bit where we. It's sad when you hear the names of the people that
it's
they're attached to, like Justin Hamilton.
Forever, though. We're not allowed to change that. It'll never change.
Should we just start it off, Bri? Should we just jump right into it?
I think so.
Give the people what they want. All right, I'm going to share my screen. So this, if anyone is interested, we obviously also have a YouTube extension to the show.
Yeah.
You are able to, if you want to, you can definitely watch a lot. Pretty much all of our shows will be on YouTube. And this YouTube extension, you'll be able to see our teams as they're happening, and we'll be interacting with stats and stuff
like
that. Which,
by the way, like 60% of the people, no, more 70% of the people who watch our channel aren't subscribed. So smush the follow, smash the like, double dunk, tomahawk dunk on that subscribe button, okay? When you get a chance, please and thanks.
Okay. Now, Brian, I gave you the first pick because I am a charitable host.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do this. Do you want to do I pick or you pick, I pick,
Wait,
you pick, I pick,
or should we do snake? I don't want to just have the first pick. That seems like you've plotted this out or something.
You want to flip a coin? Let's flip a coin.
Yeah.
Flip go to- a coin.
Perfect. Wait, heads.
Oh, wait.
Heads.
Wait.
I get, right. Is that heads?
Wait, oh, I'm going to flip again. You want heads?
I want heads. All right. Wait, what is this? I didn't get it. All right. Heads. All right. Perfect.
Tails. So right. I get first pick.
Yeah. What do you want?
But is it going to be snake? Do you want?
So it's a snake draft with you going first.
Okay. I'm just going to start it off, and I'm going to take Kevin Durant. I know that's like maybe not like, oh, James Harden will be MVP this year, and I kind of understand all that. It's Kevin Durant for me. Kevin Durant is probably the best player in the NBA, or at least when he's at the peak of his powers, which I think will be pretty consistently, he is the best, most devastating offensive force in the NBA. He is unguardable. As much as we like obsessed over PJ Tucker's defense against him in the Bucks series, Kevin Durant torched his ass. All right, Brian, torched him.
Wow.
So as the amount of the histrionics that PJ Tucker had, Kevin Durant destroyed him. And I go Kevin Durant. He's my first pick overall. I'm so excited to watch this season in particular, because last season we still had like the fear of the re-injury all season long,
mm-hmm.
right? Like there were times when he would go for a rebound and someone would kind of like push him over and your heart would be up in your throat. You'd be so sad that he was about to get hurt. Kevin Durant, I'm so excited to see him. He's fully healthy going into the season. Feel like he has a great mindset. I'm just excited to watch possibly, I think Durant's only won one MVP. And, you know, I've been thinking about there's a lot of great bets you could be making preseason from BetMGM. Harden or Durant as MVP is a nice bet because Kyrie may not play for the team this year. So one of those two guys may be the best player on the best team in the NBA. It's a nice bet to make. Kevin Durant. Do you like Kevin Durant, Brian, or do you hate him?
I like Kevin Durant. I recognize that it's the obvious consensus first pick, and I'm glad, though, weirdly, that I don't have to make it, because while Kevin Durant is, like, the best show in basketball, James Harden has my heart. Like, he just, he represents...
Is that your pick, Bri?
Both. I just, you know how he and I'm in a parasocial relationship with James Harden. You know, he's twins with Steve Nash, but I'm in there too, in my own mind, in the mix as twins with James Harden. He's a little bit taller than me, but we have very similar shapes.
decent gut
and styles of play. But also shouldery, you know, it's the shoulders, gut, back pain.
Yeah.
It's classic. And also, you know, thick thighed, you know, a pair of ham hocks.
Pull-ups. He probably just does pull-ups
just exclusively.
Like you.
Actually, I moved on to some yoga. I had to do some yoga recently.
Oh, good for you.
Mixing it up. I'm sure he's there too. I'm sure I'll see him at the.
He's famously big into yoga. Famously.
I'm sure I'll pop in and we'll be at the ashram together. But yeah, so I mean, for a million reasons, I love James Harden. What can I say that hasn't already been said? I also like that his arc is like a little bit different from the other two players, the other big three, if you will, in that like Kevin Durant doesn't need to change anything about his game. He just needs to be himself. James Harden is the only person who's like being tasked with adaptation of any kind, changing of any kind. And so there's a little bit more of like a hero's arc there for James Harden, which makes him more compelling in some ways. So yeah, I mean, also just he's the clear second best player next to Kevin Durant. You know, I love him with a capital L. Like, that's why I pick him.
And like, I think we both felt the same way about him when he played for Houston, which was like, it was kind of ugly basketball. Mm-hmm. It was just very much like super, I mean, everyone knows it. ISO heavy. Everyone stood around. Harden did what he wanted to do. He tried to draw fouls. And that was like just an ugly brand of basketball. Once he came over to Brooklyn, like he made a real point of trying to actually be a regular point guard while still being as great as he is. And there would be games when he would purposefully kind of like not try to attack the basket as much because he wanted to set up his teammates for buckets. So the way that he specifically played in Brooklyn was a thrill to me. I love that like all these reports, one Alex Schiffer writing in The Athletic and other people about it, how much of a leader Harden is for the Nets. We've also seen a lot of stuff coming out about how basically Joe Tsai and Sean Marks, they made the Harden deal because they were worried about what Kyrie, the consistency of Kyrie. And if you think of like what this team would be like if they didn't have Harden, let's say they had Caris LeVert and they ended up paying Jared Allen. I don't think they ever would have paid Jared Allen, but let's just say Jared Allen's on this team and Torian Prince. Oh my God. And Caris LeVert, I would feel, imagine the pressure on Durant if Kyrie wasn't there, right? Like that he would be the only superstar on the team. The rest of the team would have been pretty good with LeVert, Joe Harris, everyone else. But it wouldn't be like they wouldn't be still favorites to win the NBA championship. The Nets still are the favorites to win the championship. And that's because they have Harden over LeVert and Jared Allen. It was just a smart move to get one of the greatest offensive players in NBA history. And Brian now has him on his team. Brian, what's your next pick?
Oh, right. We're snaking this way. Yeah, that's a proper snake. This is going to be potentially a unpopular choice.
Oh, man. I'm intrigued.
But I really do think, and or maybe it will be a popular choice, because it's divisive one way or the other. But I'm throwing Joe Harris in there.
Wow, that is divisive.
And I don't want to be divisive because there's, Lord knows there's enough divisiveness in this, in these times, Mike, and I don't want to contribute to that, but I am so.
Yeah, you're Christian cinema. You're right down the middle.
I am so willing to help that pendulum swing back towards reality with regards to Joe Harris, because as far as the complimentary players go, there may not be a better suited complimentary player, a more elite complimentary player, even if that's a little bit of a paradox, than Joe Harris. I mean, his contribution to this team is it's really what makes this a hyper-efficient offense, the most efficient offense in league history last year. And I don't think it can be understated. And I think, like, yes, we have this small sample size theater of the playoffs where people love to, you know, drag him through the mud. And there's now two seasons worth of some, like, I'm just going to give it this one because, like, anything before this was, like, kind of fake news playoffs anyways. Like, I don't really care about them. So he had basically three or four bad games at the end of the season, which I agree, they were bad and it was problematic. And he had a lot of open looks that would have resulted in a totally different trajectory for our playoff outcome. But He's still a young man who's shaking off some maybe nerves, playoff stuff, and that's just gonna get better. And his 3-point percentages are, like, they speak for themselves. I mean, like, obviously his catch and shoot stuff is basically on track to set league records. And so, like, why wouldn't you want to surround elite offensive talent like we have with basically, like, perfect complementary players? It just makes sense. So people who are really ready to chuck him out the door for who knows what scraps are not thinking this all the way through, Mike, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the question, we've talked about this before, the Joe Harris question is only ever going to be answered in the playoffs. And for this draft, we're also considering the regular season, and Joe is going to do pretty much what he always has done. If you look at his stats, and if you're on our YouTube, you can see his basketball reference page right now. This is what he's done in the five seasons he's been with Brooklyn. And the first season was, you know, he had just gotten with the team. He played 52 games, but he just got on the team. 39% from three in that first season, 42% from three in the second one, 47% from three in the third, 42 again in fourth, and 48% from three last year playing with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. And that was the most amount of threes per game that he took, which is about 6.5 threes per game. I mean, you know, and I will always be kind of nervous until we get to the playoffs about what Joe Harris is going to play like, because he also, I do pair it with, like, he's, Joe has the, as great as he is, if you really are only a shooter, and I know he could do a little bit more, like, of course, we all know that he can put the ball on the floor a little bit. He can get to the bucket. He has really, actually really good statistics around the rim, scoring wise. But if you only really shoot and you are pretty reliant on another player to get you that shot, it does make it so there'll be some games in the playoffs where you just won't contribute all that much. And if you're 1 from 4 from three, even though, like, that's not all that much, 2 for 8 from three, that's a kind of a killer. But he's also going to have games when he's 7 for 10 and the Nets lit the world on fire. For the regular season, yeah, he's the perfect complimentary shooter.
Don't caveat this. Can I just say something before we navigate away from that? Can we just go back? Do you know what an ad blocker is, Mike? Have you ever heard of an ad blocker system?
Just because you're looking at my.
I feel like I'm walking down Times Square looking at your screen. The amount of ads.
That's don't blame me. That's Basketball References. I mean, they're trying to turn a buck here, Bri.
I get it. There's just a lot of, and I'm excited to see what your cookies will reveal about your preferences for shopping, for online shopping. Lots to learn.
It's all Nike shoes and campfire equipment, even though I never go camping.
Exciting.
I enjoy to look at camping equipment, even though I don't go camping.
Really? Is that a thing? You just go look at the Yetis?
L.L. Bean and, you know, the places.
Yetis make great products. Big. Let's get Yetis as a sponsor. Anyways, go ahead.
Would love to. Yeah. All right. So to recap, I went first. I got Kevin Durant. Brian went second and third. He got James Harden and Joe Harris. Controversial pick, Joe Harris, third overall. Now, I am at a weird place in the draft. So I think if Kyrie was vaccinated, you probably would have picked Harden and Kyrie, right? I think that's unequivocal. So now Kyrie is here floating around. Patty Mills, everyone's favorite new net, is there. Bruce Brown, the world's greatest center. I'm having a tough time. Number four in this draft, I'm trying to think about who will have the most impact, right? And I have two guys in mind, and I guess I get two picks here because it's Snake. So I'm going to go pick the two guys that I think will have the most impact this season. I'm going to go Nick Claxton.
Wow. Wow.
Because I'm liking what I'm seeing.
That's going to make a lot of the Claxton stands happy. It's an early pick.
And I'm
going to
go Patty Mills. And two very different reasons. Nick Claxton, and I'll bring up his stats now for the YouTube audience. If you look at his statistics, are not that all that impressive. He played 32 games last year. Averaged about 6.6 points per game, 5 rebounds, and 1 assist on 62% shooting from the field, 48% from the line. Okay? But I think everyone who watched the Nets and who does watch the Nets right now sees a massive pool of talent waiting to be filtered through a Brita to be distilled into the perfect role. And I said this on Twitter. There was a play in the preseason where Claxton set a screen for Harden, Claxton rolled to the hoop, and got an easy dunk. I think the Nick Claxton, James Harden combo is going to be electric this year. Claxton's going to make so much damn money because of James Harden. James Harden is going to make Nick Claxton into Clint Capella, and Nick Claxton, whether it's with the Nets or someone else, is going to make so much GD money.
Yeah,
he is one of the most versatile defensive forces in the NBA. If he can just stay healthy, stay energized, he will play at an exceptional level this season. What's your biggest Clax concern, Brian?
Well, there's no concern. I mean, I have maybe small concerns, but you've triggered an award for me. Do I?
Oh,
yeah, this is
play the award sound.
Do we? I don't know if we massage conceit into our
fold it in.
So we have also superlatives going on simultaneously. This is an elaborate bit we got here, and I've only got the top four of these, so you can put a big dotted line after the Andrea Bargnani Award. But this one you've triggered here for my yearly superlatives is the Jeremy Lin Award, the Is This the Year Award.
Classic.
And classic. Nick Claxton feels like the best fit that ever was for that, because while there are not really any big questions surrounding his ability to, like, he's the best switchable defender maybe ever right now in basketball. He's on track to be a incredibly important player for this team, and just like in the NBA, like just the stats on his switch defense from that position are just amazing. They're alarming. They're through the roof. He's very good. And that'll be, I think, like macro strategy wise in terms of where basketball is headed, you know, we're in this like period of adapting to space and pace. And like the pendulum's going to also swing back in terms of how do you adapt defensively for that? And switchable centers, I think, are going to be so, so, so important. And just watching him in the preseason too, like Nas Reed? What's his name? Yeah, Nas Reed. Nas alive. Reed. Like that guy was like significantly larger, has a, you know, huge weight advantage. And he was even like, he was unable to get anywhere against a Claxton in the post. So like he's shoring up those parts of his game too, where he can now like kind of bang down low a little bit more. Like I think he's going to be a really elite defensive player. That being said, he himself acknowledges, and I'll do this for the last time because it's getting to be a lame meme, but like his conditioning is a huge problem, and it's why he gets into foul trouble. I am a guy who suffered, you know, just anecdotally from, I was pretty good in like things, but like I couldn't do a 10 minute mile, Mike. My conditioning was so shit from such an early age. It was insane. And I just couldn't do durational running. So I personally have concerns about a guy who's like 20 years old who has a hard time playing a 6 minute stint. That just like, that seems like it's not going to get better for some, like he's only ever been playing competitive basketball at a high level. So that's my one little like twinge of I've got my eye on him when he's sucking wind after, you know, after his 6 minute run. But other than that, like also like obviously he doesn't need to be doing anything more interesting on offense other than doing pick and rolls with James Harden. That's the only thing he should ever really be doing. Anytime that he tries to do his little like, you know, turnaround shot put stuff, I would always recommend that he like just pass that out more often than not. But you know, he'll get
there. I mean, I'll give him credit, and I know you're not saying this, but it's like I do think he does recognize on a certain level of what he needs to do to be successful in the NBA. We're like, you see guys who come into the league who do the thing that they did in college and think, oh, I can handle the ball, I can do all this, I can shoot from three. Where Claxton definitely feels like he's like, he recognizes if I just set picks for James Harden or anyone else who's a guard on this team and I roll to the hoop, I'm going to get some games I'm going to score 20 points just on dunks, right? Mm. Like, I think he recognizes that. He doesn't do too much, like, dumb offensive moves. Yeah, you know, everyone has – there's an allowance we all
Yeah, in garbage time, he gets a little bit more cheeky. But, yeah, in general, he's not that guy.
And that is a significant change from what he was like in college, where he was basically George's point guard and would bring up the ball and initiate the break and do things that you would not expect a 6'11 guy to do. So he's definitely, he's got that level of like self-awareness, which is huge. Like that's the self-awareness I'm hoping Cam Thomas is having. And you're already kind of seeing Cam Thomas transform, which we'll talk about later in the episode. I think Claxton, like, does he have the widest variance on this team? Like, he could be injury concern guy, floats in and out of games. There'll be some games where, like, he never even plays because LaMarcus Aldridge and Paul Millsap and Blake get all the center minutes. Or he could be, like, the secret weapon X, you know, on this team. That, like, he's the guy who, if he's playing 25 minutes a game, every game, it is offering a reliable, like, 10, 7, and 2 blocks on 65% from the field. If he's like DeAndre Jordan before DeAndre took off with the Clippers, like he's like young DeAndre Jordan, then he's an amazing piece for a team that's as good as this is. I'm interested. I want to grab him though, because I do think his ceiling is so high. My next pick is Patty Mills. Patty Mills is pretty simple. It's like,
that's pretty simple.
We may not eat. I mean, obviously Kyrie is not playing for now, so Patty's going to have to play more than I think maybe they anticipated, but maybe they convinced Patty Mills to come because they were like, hey, we don't think Kyrie is going to get vaccinated. But Patty in the playoffs, he's going to have like 10 different moments where everyone's happy that Patty Mills is on the Nets.
Yeah.
He's going to hit clutch shots. He's going to be in the right positions. He's going to do the crafty things that we all love Patty Mills for. He's a good vibes guy. He's already like had like there's a winning moment he had where he was cutting radio promos for the Nets radio broadcast, and he was saying like Tim Capstraw's name very funny. he's just like all the perfect vibes that you want.
Good vibes.
I mean, he's even said like publicly like everyone should get vaccinated. I think everyone should get vaccinated, even while his teammate that he's probably barely ever met, Kyrie Irving. Doesn't seem
a fellow. They're both fellow Aussies. They're both from Australia.
They are both Aussies from different lives, though. Different lives they've lived. So I pick and Patty Mills. You're born 1988, or were you 87, Brian?
I'm 87. I'm 87.
Jeez, you're
old. I just had a birthday, October 15.
Where am I? Can you tell me when important things happen in your life? Jesus, Brian.
On my birthday next year, I'm going to text you, it's my birthday.
Just tell me.
That's all I'm going to say to Mike is, it's my birthday. I've never done obviously, how could you? How can I do the birthday thing? I went away.
I'm coming up.
Yeah.
We're going to do balloons. We're going to get a pinata. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be good.
Libra. Patty Mills.
Is he a Libra? No, he's not a Libra.
August 11th was his birthday.
Yeah, fresh.
Patty Mills is not a draft pick for me for the regular season. Like, there's like guys like Bruce Brown and Blake Griffin, who I think will contribute much. Paul Millsap, much more in the regular season, but in the postseason, I think Patty Mills, if the team wins the championship, like Patty Mills is going to become like this wonderful cult favorite legend for the things that he's going to do to help push this team over the top. Mm-hmm. Patty Mills is my pick. Brian?
I'm up.
Let's do this quick break.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not up.
Coming back, Brian's picks.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back, Brian.
Thank God.
I'm up. Brian, to recap the draft, I have Kevin Durant, Nick Claxton, Patty Mills. Brian has James Harden, Joe Harris. And Brian.
And I have Blake Griffin.
Wow, quick pick.
I have Blake
Griffin. That's a good pick. That was the other guy I was thinking of.
My team is going to roast your team, dog. I hate to say it.
Yeah, my team sucks already.
Yeah. I feel like Blake Griffin might have to have a big season this year. More than the... I mean, he's been de facto support bro for a while now. But with the power vacuum left behind by Kyrie Irving to go play, you know, touch football this season instead of showing up... Blake Griffin.
Some people, it seems like Kyrie Irving was playing touch football.
It doesn't seem like TMZ was reporting. They had video of him playing touch football. Like high speed touch football, like a competitive game of touch football, which I didn't realize was a thing you could actually find. But it was like, dude's like,
you know, you're not in those circuits?
I am not. I am so far from those circuits. It's scary. But I didn't realize that people like went hard at touch football like that.
That's the only speed I go at.
Yeah. So that's what he's been doing. And in the interim, Blake Griffin, I feel like, will need to take on the mantle of not third star, obviously, because that's not, you know, in the cards. But if you scroll down to where his stats were from the previous seasons, we're really not very far removed from some big seasons. 24 points per game in 2019 is a lot of points. It's a heckin' lot of points, okay, yeah. In 75 games. Again, like his fall off has been well noted, precipitous, but it's also a context heavy situation. I don't doubt that there's, you know, an extra, there's going to be plenty of moments where he can call his own number here in a way that he probably didn't feel necessary or even wanted to last season. And, you know, there'll be stretches where I think Blake Griffin can fill up that vacuum a little bit. Not again, he's not like a Kyrie Irving replacement. I don't want people to snip it and clip it, and now I'm the Blake Griffin's replacing Kyrie Irving guy. I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I think he's got an extra gear in him still there, young man, 31. Plenty of reps.
I don't know how many gears that guy he's got left. I think we saw the peak gears. And they were pretty good in the playoffs, but I think we reached the top.
I think he can get back to, if necessary, that, you know, 15 to 18 points per game world. Where,
wow, you are bullish on
where necessary. Blake. Where necessary. I mean, look, he was in his, like, really, like, dog shit year in Detroit. He was still averaging 12 points per game. I mean, we're pretty close to 15 already. So give him a couple more minutes, a couple more reps, and he can get there. Again, I'm not, that's a dumb comparison. I'm just saying there's more reps for a third guy if necessary.
Sure. Yeah. I want to, so for the YouTube audience, you can see this, but for the podcast audience, Blake's Detroit Brooklyn splits are very interesting. So he averaged 12 points per game and 5 rebounds and 4 assists in Detroit. Those numbers all went down in Brooklyn, but the efficiency went
skyrocketed.
Way up. He was going 31 minutes in Detroit. He went down to 22 minutes in Brooklyn, but his field goal percentage went from 37 in Detroit to 49. In Brooklyn, his 3-point percentage, much fewer threes. He was shooting 6 in Detroit, and then he was shooting 3 in Brooklyn, but he shot 38%. Okay. And you don't want Blake shooting 6 threes a game at 32%. You actually want him shooting 38% to 39% on fewer shots per game, become more of a threat. His 2-point percentage skyrocketed in Brooklyn. He was at 43% from two-point field goals in Detroit, up to 57% on 2-point shots in Brooklyn. All of efficiency across the board went way up. And if he can just kind of copy that and do it again this year, you know, we saw Blake dunking obviously, and everyone's so excited about that. If he does that, that's a pretty – those are efficient, nice, quality minutes. We know he's going to pop up on Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon and all those late-night talk shows. He'll be the Nets. He's already done so. He was on SNL 2 weeks ago. So on the Kim Kardashian episode. Actually, she was pretty good.
Oh.
I'm going to give – Kim was pretty good.
She's good, huh?
Pretty good. But – and that's for – we have a couple of – people that listen to us that actually write about comedy. So I'll let them check in about that. Yeah. But Blake.
Yeah.
My concern with Blake is that he had a certain energy coming to Brooklyn. Like he got out of hell. He got out of Detroit. He was a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
Right. Like a Meatloaf song. And he got to Brooklyn and there was like a energy, positive vibes that washed over him and he carried it through the season and he did really well in the postseason. I wonder if because he's here for the full year, can he continually get to a level, the level that he was at last year. I don't know. But he has, the Nets have more players like Blake this year and Paul Millsap and LaMarcus Aldridge. So it could be a situation where it's like, hey, Blake, you're going to play two out of the three games this week. You're going to play two out of the four. These are the games you're going to play. You can just focus in on those games and then we can get high efficiency numbers from you in those games. I'm interested to see. There's a pretty high, he also has a high ceiling. I just also think, I don't know if the energy is
going
to be.
Oh, you roasted me for not having a gear, but now you're going high ceiling. I see.
Yeah, because
that's what I meant to say. I mean, that's
one of the great players of his generation when he was healthy.
I will say I'm glad that you went and got more granular with the 2-point and 3-point percentages because I'm going to say I think in general field goal percentage that metric should go away because it's not effective field goal percentage should replace it entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we should be looking like. It's so funny. We're all obsessed about 3-point percentage. 2-point percentage is very crucial. You have to look like the guys who fall off is because they can't hit twos anymore.
Yeah.
They still be able to hit threes, but
maybe
they can't
even
hit
more importantly is how many do you shoot in a game if you suck or don't suck at them? And that's where the EFG comes in and does
big
work.
Big EFG energy.
Big
EFG energy.
Speaking of EFG energy, a guy who's struggled with this in the past. But who will be my next pick is, and you'll be surprised on this, Mike. You're going to be very surprised because this, I've picked up a reputation for being anti this guy when I'm anything but, and that's LaMarcus Aldridge because I got to shore up.
Wow.
I got to shore this.
Any Glue Guys listeners would never guess you would take LaMarcus Aldridge with your fourth pick.
You know why? Because I come from, and I'm a member of the old school, Mike. I'm a little old school. I had a birthday. I got a little older. Now I'm old school.
You're very Lionel Hollins.
Very Lionel Hollins. And there is something to be said for guys that had been like primary bucket getters at some point in their careers and their ability to just like do good things at times that matter. I think LaMarcus Aldridge just has that instinct just based on a career of having to be that guy for so long. Yes, he's pretty old. Yes, his lateral mobility is comical. His drop defense is still functional, though. And he's very handsy and clever in the post. I've enjoyed watching the Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge minutes together because it's all just darting snake hands everywhere all over, you know, all over the place for your Naz Reads again. The guy, we got him. Nailed that Naz Reed. But yeah, so I've enjoyed.
You're really banking a lot of your analysis on that Naz Reed experience.
That was huge for me. I've been running that back for days now. But anyways, I've grown to appreciate LaMarcus Aldridge's ability to just do the right thing at the right time. I think that's like a innate, unteachable thing to a certain extent. What he's giving you offensively is still like, you know, pretty relative or relevant for what we're doing on this team. So for that and the reasons that I'm less suspicious of his overall defensive output than I had been just because, I think I understand how we can work with it. Like, again, he's not going to be your switch heavy dude, but he can still play drop D.
He's not going to be your switch heavy dude.
He can do the drop D to some effect.
If he's like falling around Luka Doncic on
that's a problem.
Trae Young,
you got a problem.
I'm terrified.
You got a problem. But yeah,
that's a little concerning because the whole defense is built around switching. And if like we saw with DeAndre, if there's like one guy that can't do it, particularly the big, you're getting a little bit issue. Here's a sustainable stat or not, new segment. He shot 80% from three with the five games he played in Brooklyn.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty. Is that sustained?
Yeah.
I shot 1,000%
sustainable
free throw line. Is that sustainable?
Two a game. That's what, 10 free throws. That's 10 for 10.
He's the only member of the 50, 80, 1,000, 100%
yeah.
club. He was pretty good. Like, and I do remember the five games that he played in Brooklyn. It was like he didn't sacrifice as much as like everyone else seemed to sacrifice. Like, he definitely came in and was like, I'm going to shoot my mid-range jumpers and do my thing. But as you said, like, hey, he's pretty good at that. He's like still a pretty effective scorer in spots.
Yeah.
And he's going to be kind of a person that in games where KD and Harden are off, like whether they're actually sitting for the game or they're just not that on it, like you're going to get a little LaMarcus Aldridge spurt, a little geyser of LaMarcus.
Gross.
That he's going to go off and get you 8 points in 6 minutes or whatever. I don't know what the correct timeline of that is. That's going to sustain the offense. And then
six points in 8 minutes is not. That's a tiny spurt.
It's a tiny spurt.
Yeah.
That's a smelt spurt right there. But I don't think it's a bad pick. I want to see it. I need to see more than five games. And obviously I'm happy for him that he got to play basketball. You know, that he's playing basketball now and everyone's happy for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So Brian has James Harden, Joe Harris, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. I have Kevin Durant, Nick Claxton, Patty Mills. I have two picks coming my way. Here's who is left right now. Paul Millsap, the other member of the Temptations, the older men's group. I just saw the Temptations on Good Morning America, so that's why I bring them up.
Got it.
Cam Thomas, the internet's new boyfriend, the Timothy Chalamet of the Nets. Javon Carter, the Bulldog, Bruce Brown. But I'm going to go do this. And this is just for theater, just for the reaction. I'm going Kyrie Irving.
I was ready to pick him myself, so, you know, it's time.
Yeah. This is the time to take Kyrie, because there's many different scenarios that I think could benefit the Nets. One is that he actually does get vaccinated, surprisingly. Kyrie has shown that his mind changes on things many, many times, and there's still a possibility he gets vaccinated. Let me ask you this, Brian. Did you see, and I'm going to bring this up for everyone here, did you see what Eric Adams, the soon-to-be...
I saw the headline. I didn't actually see like the video quote or whatever.
Okay, it's a little interesting of exactly, I don't know where the words came in sort of sequence, but Eric Adams was asked about Kyrie Irving specifically about, you know, whether things will change. This is what Eric Adams, who again is the Democratic nominee for mayor of New York City, he will be making, his administration will be making the decision once Mayor de Blasio is out of office about what to do with the COVID mandate. And this is what he says. I think this is going to work itself out. I believe we're going to find a way to have safety and continue to keep our standards very strong. What he said, I believe the NBA and Kyrie, they should work out how they're going to address that, even though technically, the funny thing is he said that the NBA and Kyrie are going to have to address it when it has nothing to do with the NBA, frankly. It, you know, the city of New York is the one that's ordering Kyrie to get vaccinated in a way. I think it's going to be up there to have a real agreement. And the big quote that he said is something like, he's extremely optimistic that Kyrie will suit up soon for the Brooklyn Nets.
Based on what, like the problem with that is like the first three things he says were kind of wrong. And then he says, I'm extremely optimistic about it,
yeah,
which makes me not super optimistic about his handle on the whole thing.
Yeah. So the headline is like, soon-to-be mayor says he's extremely likely that Kyrie is going to be able to, you know, play for the Brooklyn Nets, which would make you think, oh, is he going to change the vaccine mandate just for Kyrie? I don't think he is. I don't think he actually really cares. And if anything, it would kind of look weird if the new mayor was like, hey, we're just, you know, I'm going to just come in and change up the things just so Kyrie Irving can play basketball.
It would be kind of a hilarious, like, passive-aggressive move to be like, all right, city of New York, because Kyrie Irving wants to play, we're going to change the mandate and just like, you know, like make the whole, like just like actually name the bill the Kyrie Irving bill instead of just really make it about him, just to lean into it.
It's a local ordinance, Brian. Yeah. It's not a bill.
Sorry, the local ordinance. Name the ordinance the Kyrie Irving.
So, okay. Kyrie may play basketball this year for the Nets if the local ordinance has changed or if he gets vaccinated.
Yeah.
The other scenario why I pick Kyrie is I'm taking Kyrie for the potential of what Kyrie could turn into if the Nets decide to trade Kyrie Irving. Now, we talked to Shams. I asked Shams specifically about what's the Kyrie Irving market. Now, he didn't tell me names, but he said, no, there's definitely teams that would be interested. Kyrie, then after my interview with Shams, which I credit as the reason why Kyrie went on Instagram, Kyrie says, I'm not retiring. I'm not retiring. I'm going to play basketball. You know, this isn't, I'm a baller, all this stuff. Like, he was adamant he was not retiring. I think that did a massive favor for Sean Marks and the Nets, because if, in fact, Kyrie continued to flirt with retirement, going back to the Nick Wright report and continuing on and on, the Nets would never get anything for Kyrie because no team at all could ever feel okay about getting Kyrie. I think there's a potential scenario.
Well, actually, can I just ask a question slash like think about this? Because like in some of the things that are being passed around like a Porzingis trade, in which it's mostly just like trading your expiring for like a junk contract back. Again, I'm not endorsing this. It's just what's been floated around, blah, blah, blah. Does the retirement thing affect that in any meaningful way? Or is it it's still just like you're trading an expiring contract? It's just you don't even get the half a season out of him or whatever.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, if Kyrie's going to play basketball, I think the second he gets traded to a new team, he'd play for them. As long as they're not in L.A., any other the vaccine mandate localities.
But I think like if for the Porzingis trade, the reason that people like are like you would take that risk anyways, because they don't want Porzingis there and they would want to be clear to that contract, you know, either in either case.
No. So maybe people believe that the Mavericks are so disillusioned by Kristaps that they'd rather have nothing for Porzingis, right?
Well, they would rather have a season of Kyrie Irving with the potential that he would re-sign and then
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think by saying he will not retire, it opens up a little bit more of a market for, frankly, a badly managed team to come into the picture and say, you know what? We don't care that Kyrie, like maybe Kyrie doesn't even want to be here past the one season we get him, but let's get him in here. He's kind of a different guy, which I think it's fair to say. Maybe he will fall in love with our franchise and he'll want to stay. We get him at a massive discount because whatever deal you're going to make, it'd be a huge discount. And so you survey the landscape. Mm. What teams are not very smart and potentially have new owners? Well, there's a team in Minnesota who was just bought by Alex Rodriguez. And that is a team that had just fired their general manager right before the season. They have been active in the Ben Simmons discussions. They definitely don't have enough assets to get Ben Simmons, it seems. I could totally see A-Rod and Mark Lowry, who's the actual money guy in that deal, saying, you know what? Like we flip D'Angelo Russell for Kyrie Irving. Maybe you give the Nets a little bit extra stuff and we send D'Lo back and then we pair up Karl Anthony Towns and Kyrie Irving and Anthony Edwards. That's a better team than what they have now. And for the Nets, D'Lo comes back. Now you don't really need D'Angelo Russell. If you're the Nets, like you actually don't, but he's better than not having anything.
Let me ask you this. Let me throw maybe fourth. What if there's a situation on the table where Kyrie Irving just sort of takes his half a paycheck, whatever, sits out the season and like do the Nets and, you know, a whole nother year worth of distance from COVID, blah, blah, blah. Presumably something changes legally, ordinance-wise. You would know better than me, but who knows what.
Yeah, I'm in the ordinances.
You're on that newsletter. Is part of their thinking that you could just – like, would they still even consider offering him an extension at that point? Like, I know that Shams was saying that was off the table. Obviously, that's, like, currently off the table, sort of how that would be, like, most generously read. Is that a permanent off-the-table situation if he actually doesn't friggin' play the entire season? Is it possible he's just not gonna play this season, Mike? It's crazy.
I don't think it's a permanent off the table.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I don't think the 4-year extension would be on. Like, you can't basically, and let's be honest, you can't trust Kyrie Irving for 4 more years on a guaranteed contract.
Hell no.
You just can't. like, no, in you may think his fight for fighting for the voiceless, whatever voiceless that he's trying to amplify, which though the people that are voiceless seem like they have a pretty high voice.
It's the touch football cohorts. That's he's trying to voice. Not enough, because I didn't even know that they had competitive touch football out there anymore. So he's doing the Lord's work on that front.
Yeah, he's promoting touch football back.
Yeah,
make it an Olympic sport. Yeah. He, like, you just can't rely on him. But I could see the Nets saying, like, if Kyrie doesn't get vaccinated, does get vaccinated, whatever, saying, hey, Kyrie, would you do 2 more years with us? You know, I don't know if you could say no trade clause or something just to give him like a peace of mind. I'm sure you wouldn't do that. But I don't think any team in the NBA would give Kyrie Irving a 4 or 5 year deal right now. You just wouldn't. Maybe in a year from now, if things, people will feel different, as desperate as people may get. But I could see a franchise saying, well, hey, Kyrie Irving wants to play basketball. He stated he doesn't want to retire. He's still a young enough player that, okay, we may not get, he may not retire with our team, but we could get a nice boost. I mean, everyone brings up the Spurs. People bring up the Spurs. I mean, I think the Miami Heat, I don't know what they would trade really at this point, but like, this is a very Miami thing to be like, hey, we want to grab a talent like Kyrie Irving. I still think there's teams. And it's funny, the Sixers are like, no, we would never trade Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving. Like, get out of here.
Get out.
You guys would, if it really came down to it and Sean Marks called Daryl Morey and Kyrie Irving gave word that he would play for the Sixers and happily do so, you would do it. If I'm the Nets, I don't know if I would, because you're making the Sixers better by doing that.
Yeah.
But I take Kyrie Irving now for the chance that he plays. And if he doesn't, I think he gets traded.
Oh, wait, you think you don't see
a scenario that he sits out for a whole year.
Is what you're saying is the players that he gets traded for are now part of your team? Is that the idea?
Now part
is
of
that,
my team.
Okay.
I'm trading Kyrie for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Or Derek White.
That is bullshit.
And people. Let's just take a quick break. Then coming back, I will make my next pick in our Nets preseason season review preview player draft.
Gorgeous.
And we're back, Brian.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. For my next pick, I have a couple of names I'm considering. And there's a name I could pick that would sort of be like the viral TikTok sensation for that crowd. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take someone that, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you know I love dearly. The moment that he was traded to the Nets, I was excited about it. As much as it hurt me that John and Musa was no longer a Net, it's Bruce Brown.
Well,
I take Bruce Brown for also the potential of maybe he plays even, there's like another level he gets to, but I like the guy who he is.
Mm.
You know, this isn't a rom-com where I need the man to change by the end of the movie.
Okay.
I'm just happy of who he is.
Well,
I'm satisfied in my man, in Bruce Brown. He is the only 6'4" center in the NBA. He and James Harden had the most effective pick and roll offense in terms of efficiency in the NBA.
For a time. I don't know that was sustained.
Did not hold up?
Yeah.
Okay, but he shot, this is kind of incredible for a guard. He shot 29% from three on one attempt per game, but he shot 60% from two. And a lot of that was floaters. It was just being open near the basket while the other team was focusing on Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. 5 rebounds per game. You know, it seemed like in the preseason that he definitely worked on his 3-point shot a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He is on a 1-year contract. He is aiming to get a bag of some kind at the end of this season from another team, most likely, probably not this team. I still appreciate and love him dearly. I think he may actually play more and more in crunch time. Yes, Brian.
Let me put a thought exercise into your world. Somewhat worst case scenario, Kyrie Irving doesn't get an extension.
Okay.
And we clear that off the cap. But also best case scenario, we're amazing and we win a championship, whatever, you know, despite not having him on the team. Do we go back out and sign Nick Claxton and Bruce Brown with the financial hole left by Kyrie Irving? Or do we go for a third star or something? Yeah.
That's a great question. I think you have to maintain the asset, right? So why you don't do it is because this team is uber expensive. I'm pulling up Hoops Hype now to kind of get the picture for everyone, particularly on our YouTube audience. So next year, without giving Bruce Brown a contract, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, basically everyone who isn't James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or Joe Harris and Patty Mills, they have $161 million committed to this team, and they need to fill out a ton of roster spots. But if Kyrie was a player option, 36
G's or mil off the table,
decides to decline that option, you disperse that 36 to Bruce Brown's 10. And I think if Nick Claxton has a really good season, he could be a 15 a year guy.
You think Bruce Brown's going to get 10? You really think?
Yeah,
so?
I know. That's probably.
I think it's more like 2 years, five a piece or something like that. Honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Yeah. So I think some of that 36.6 million, it gets dispersed. So I don't think Bruce Brown plus Nick Claxton equals that, right? I don't think there's any way that their salaries combine.
No, I think we get another year of Paul Millsap, but we just run it back.
Slide in Paul, slide in Blake again. Yeah, you do that all over again. Patty Mills is back on his player option.
Blake Griffin's deal is pretty sweet so far. I mean, yeah, do you think, I mean, based on what you saw last year, what does his contract look like if we give him a, because this is another 1 year flyer kind of situation. He needs a real contract after this, probably.
Well, I think there was definitely interest, and it was reported that there's interest from other teams from him. But the unique situation that he has is that he was a buyout guy. So he's still getting that buyout money from Detroit for this season. I think it ends after this season, but I may be wrong. So at that point, so anything that he makes with the Nets is then taken out. It's removed from his buyout with the Pistons. I believe that's how it works. Mm-hmm. So next year so he's making the same amount of money regardless of what team he's on this year. Next year, it's different. Next year, I think, yeah, they pay him he's going to get paid more money than the minimum, which is what he's making now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's a great question. I think from a team building perspective, you absolutely re-sign Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton to maintain those assets if you don't have Kyrie Irving.
Well, there it is, boys. That's where the divisiveness can really get ugly, because the Claxton stands and the Bruce Brown stands versus the Kyrie stands. Whoa, boy. Whoa, daddy. That's trouble. That's a barn burner.
Bruce Brown is currently the sixth highest paid player on the team.
Hey,
which is good for him. But yeah, we love Bruce Brown.
Love him.
Love his attitude. Love what he does to the team. He's so dedicated on being a role player for a championship team. He really recognizes that that's where he's meant to be in life. There's definitely room for him. You know, the classic projection for whether a guy can shoot threes is their free throw percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot 74% over his career. That's a pretty nice percentage. It's not amazing, but it shows that he should be at least an average-ish 3-point shooter.
I mean, his 73% in back-to-back seasons belies a pretty consistent – that's his number. It's right there at 74. I mean, there we are.
So I have him on my team. I think he'll be playing in crunch time with various lineups. I'm happy to have the grinder that is
– the grind set.
Bruce Brown. Brian is up.
Man, your team is such a calamity. I got to tell you, I'm just looking at this. It is. I've got just stone cold vets, top to bottom, gamers, and you've got just question marks and role players.
I have Kyrie and specialists.
You have the ghost of Kyrie. You have Kevin Durant. I'll give you that. That's what you have.
I have the voiceless. Come on.
And I have, who do I have next? I'm going to go back-to-back Paul Millsap, James Johnson. Let's shore up this vet lineup.
Wow. Some brawny boys there. Wow, let's totally screwed that up. Thank you.
Why? Who do you have? Are you taking Javon Carter?
You let me Cam Thomas. I'm going to win this draft. People on Twitter are going to vote for this draft. And I'm going to have Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton. I win.
Look at the names on my list. Just legends of the game.
Ancient. How many ACLs do they have between them at this point?
Blake Griffin is 31 years old. He's a young man. He's got his whole life ahead of him. Well, Paul,
the dustiest team. You have the Golden Girls. I've got the Charlie's Angels.
Yeah,
right. That's a cool thing.
That is a cool thing. Another cool thing is Paul Millsap is a cool thing. I was encouraged by Paul Millsap's willingness to shoot some hectic looking threes during preseason. Sure.
Let's take a look at Paul Millsap's statistics.
Some of them went in, some of them did not. And when they didn't, they did not by a mile, but that's okay. Because he's got an up and down career. I actually looked at this and I was like, is he a good 3-point shooter? Well, there were times where he was okay. Like 2 years ago, where he shot 43%, which is excellent. Quite good. And then there's a bunch of years where he shot like 31%, which is not so great. But so I have no idea if he's going to be a 3-point shooter. And that's maybe why I gave him a look at Light on My Resume for the Justin Hamilton Award. That's the best I could come up with, just because but from year to year, he could lie on his resume about it, you know. So it doesn't really feel like a lie. It feels just like an erratic thing. It's kind of, don't you think it's weird when somebody's just like an erratic 3-point shooter, an erratic free throw shooter? I always think that that's so interesting. Like, why? What was it about like you just sucking that 1 year or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. But if you look at Millsap's stats, he's like the most he's ever shot into season from three is 3.5 3-point attempts a game. So he's always been a low volume guy. And like, if we looked at totals, like the difference between being a 34% from three, like, okay, look at this one season, 2017-2018, he shot 35% from three. He made 39 of them. The season where he shot 44%, he shot 54 of them. He just made 15 more threes basically over the year. And he actually took more threes. So like, it's just like a couple more makes and misses for him because he doesn't shoot it all that much. But he's not going to shoot it that much here. He's going to shoot about 2 threes a game and they'll be wide open. So can he hit that at 37% and be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need. But anyways, and his 2-point percentage, we're 2-point obsessed. He had the lowest volume of his career from two in terms of number of shots from inside the arc, but he shot 55%. He's just a smart player, you know?
And the only reason
he knows what he's supposed to
I'm zeroing in on his 3-point percentage, which like normally wouldn't be a big deal for him, is just because he's so clearly kind of replacing the Jeff Green minutes, who had an insane year last year from 3-point, which I don't even think he could sustain. And he's sort of in the same boat as having kind of erratic 3-point percentage anyways. So, so who knows what we'll get there. But in general, having watched him, he was bouncy in preseason too. It looked like he was a little bit more spry than I thought. Like he had a pretty solid dunk, that I didn't think it was like in his, I didn't ever actually even thought he was ever like a dunker guy. So it's kind of surprising to see that at all. But lots to like about Paul Millsap's just stay at home defense with lots of grabby hands, which I like. He's got some clever playmaking stuff that seems to gel nicely with what James Harden does in similar ways, but like to obviously much lesser extent. But just little like post drop passes and stuff like that. He can find your Bruce Browns, cutting in interesting ways and stuff. I think like more, less of like a, he can make his own offense playmaker than Jeff Green, but more of a, can fit in with a more dynamic offense kind of playmaker potentially.
Yeah. And I could have done this with LaMarcus Aldridge, but he played in 129 playoff games in his career, started 75 of them. He's played in more than 1,000 NBA games in the regular. Like the thing that we're almost sort of underrating about the old crusties that Brian loves, that he has on his team, is they have so much experience in big games. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, and Paul Millsap all have just been through multiple playoff series, have gone pretty far in those playoff series. They're all vets. Like, and they also haven't, I don't think any of them have won a championship. Did LaMarcus win a championship
with the Spurs?
With the Spurs? Did he ever get there?
So.
16 games, 2000, probably not.
No, that would have
been 2016-17 wouldn't have been the Spurs. That would have been the Warriors.
But he was there in 2015 or 2016. Yeah.
Yeah. So but LaMarcus Aldridge has played more than 1,000 games in the regular season. He's played how many in the playoffs? 72. He started every game in those playoffs. Like, he's been through it. So there, you have all these veterans on this team that have just accumulated in an insane amount of knowledge about how to win in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, this is also how I draft for fantasy too, which is why I have such a record of success in fantasy. It's because, you know, it's really helpful to have a big data set. I want to know what this guy is going to do when he gets there.
I want to know who love is.
And I know that I love James Johnson as well. Actually, don't. He's one of the bigger quantic question marks. I don't even think James Johnson knows what James Johnson is. He's a riddle wrapped in an enigma. But like, if you look at, I looked at his stats earlier for this, like he's just all over the goddamn place. Like from year to year, like his scoring numbers are some of the most, you know, they're never really high, but they go up to like 12 here. Yeah. You got him here. 12 in some years where necessary, but then as low as 5 year, like one year to the next. So it really seems to just be, yeah, I don't know. He seems to be all over the place with stuff. His free throw percentages are somewhat inconsistent. I mean, for everyone from 59% to there's like a, I thought an 80, yeah, 84 in 1 year. That's only in a couple. No, it's in 52 games. What is that? That's insane. That's very strange. So anyways,
he's very like Rondo, but like Rondo light, where like Rondo on one team will be the most crucial piece for the Lakers winning the championship, and then he's just completely disregarded on another team.
Yes, exactly. So hopefully he's not totally disregarded. I mean, obviously his switchy defense is why he was brought in here, which again is sort of notable and quite good, though I haven't had enough time to really key into it the way I have with your Nick Claxton's at all. But you know, safe to assume that that's there. So yeah, I needed to shore up the defense on my team, and that's where I brought James Johnson in. And you know, in similar ways, that's why the Nets brought him in, Mike.
Yeah, and so I'm like you. Like, I have no idea if James Johnson's going to be a guy that, like, is suddenly, like, he needs to be on the floor a lot more because he can switch and all he cares about is defense and pushing people over. Or if I'm like, you're like, he doesn't do anything. Like, you know, I have no clue.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, Sean Marks, they targeted James Johnson. Like, I think he was a kind of an early signing in free agency, and obviously he's on the team for a reason. And this team is a loaded roster, and yet he's here. Who knows what he's going to play? Again, I'm interested. I'm in for the James Johnson experience.
Great.
It's just a grave mistake that you picked him because I am taking Cam Thomas here.
Well,
I mean, Brian, you fooled yourself.
Your team is just so not going to gel. That's your problem.
Who cares? I have Cam Thomas. I have the next James Harden on my team.
Or
you have James Harden. I have Cam Thomas.
Or you have the next, because you've triggered a superlative for me, the next Jarrett Jack, because he's earned the Jarrett Jack Hold My Beer Award from last year. Last year's was Kyrie Irving. Definitely Kyrie Irving. Interesting. That's kind of an interesting choice. But yeah, so for me, I think this is the most obvious of all time superlative.
The Hold My Beer. Like, no one has ever held more, asked people to hold his beer more than Cam Thomas.
Doesn't even need an explanation. Yeah, there you go.
Cam Thomas is at LSU, a school that has produced so many great basketball players, including Shaquille O'Neal.
You're going for
shot 23. Yeah, I am. He scored 23 points per game in college. He shot 88% from the free throw line, 32.5% from three. Not that great, but all those shots were really difficult. He only got it is incredible in college. He only averaged 1.5 assists per game when he just had the ball the entire game. And like, he was just like, I'm still going to score.
Look at these percentages, dude. Those are scary.
I know. But here's what I've liked, and everyone's liked. He was co-MVP of Summer League. He was an absolute in the clutch closer, hitting up big shots, completely unafraid to take a big shot. We've talked about it before in the preseason game where he comes down with the ball, KD's on the wing, and Cam just pulls up from three. No regard for the best scorer, maybe of all time, on the wing. And he's just like, I'm going to fucking shoot the ball. But I have seen, like, we're getting those little stories of him talking to James Harden, him trying to figure out more and more of how to fit into a flow of an offense, how to be more of like a distributor a little bit. I feel like Harden has, and we haven't seen it fully yet, so I don't know, but Harden recognizes probably a lot of himself in some way in Cam Thomas. Cam is a certified bucket getter. He gets buckets. He should work at Home Depot. He gets so many buckets. What will he be this year, Brian? We've talked about it before. I have no clue. I have no clue if because now Kyrie Irving's out that he's going to be playing a reliable 18 a game, or if he's still going to be like he doesn't play some games, then he plays 20 minutes another game. I have no clue. But I think he's a good value play here because Kyrie Irving isn't playing, and that definitely means more minutes for guards. And Cam Thomas would be pretty exciting as your like backup 15-minute-a-game guard who gets you 1,000 points.
True. Big true.
1,000 points. Okay. We got the dregs.
Yeah. Fly through this. Let's get this going.
This is tough. Javon Carter, De'Ron Sharp.
What are you gonna? I know who you're gonna take. Your guy,
DeAndre. Bembry is my guy, but I'm taking Javon Carter.
I thought you were gonna go for Kessler Edwards. I thought you were gonna go full.
That's my fantasy star. Javon Carter. I think I have him as my Isaiah Whitehead spin move award, which is like the most consistent move. And that's Javon Carter picking up the ball handler. Yeah,
that aged beautifully.
Quarters court.
Isaiah Whitehead reference.
Isaiah Whitehead. I was really high on him. There's a chance that we just are going to fall in love with Javon Carter because he's a pretty good 3-point shooter. In fact, he's like as good as Landry Shamet, basically. And he's a way better defender. And like that pit bull mentality of picking up guys from, you know, 3-quarters court is going to play nicely on this team because they don't really have too many of those dudes. Or he could just not play because he really can't do much besides shoot open threes and play some defense. But
I think as a replacement for Mike James, Javon Carter is super sick. Like, it's a great.
Do you think he's better than Landry Shamet?
I don't know that I've seen enough, but I will say that they're different because he's got the ability to initiate an offense. Javon Carter appears. I don't know that he can initiate it to meaningful end, but he can at least initiate it, which
they can actually score when he initiates.
Yeah. So, Landry Shamet's an important player. It's just that he sort of plays more of the Joe Harris role in my mind, but just is less sort of mature and good at it yet. He's got it. Maybe he could be there. He could get to Joe Harris territory, but
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah.
I think Landry Shamet is a way overrated shooter. Ultimately.
I mean, if you're hanging your head on being a dope shooter, he just needs to be a little bit doper. It's unfortunate.
Sorry, my dog is attacking my door. Okay.
That's all right. And your team is just getting scrappier and scrappier and less skilled and younger. And it's just
less skilled. I have Kevin Durant.
It's gonna be.
I have Patty Mills. I have Kyrie Irving.
You've got a backup point guard in Patty Mills. I've got starters top to bottom. Guys are just anyways. Next up, I guess, is I'll be the one that takes Bembry and to fulfill the the Bang Bros of James Bembry Johnson head. And Bembry.
You got the real. The real crusties.
You got the Bang Bros going. What do you mean the crusties? You're a Bembry guy. You're jelly. That's all you are. Yeah, you're just jelly.
Yeah, but they're all crusty.
I have similar questions about Bembry. I will confess to have really not really understanding what he was coming into this preseason, but being super pleasantly surprised by what I saw. I thought of him as kind of an erratic defense heavy dude. That might still very well be the case, but I saw him put out some offense in preseason that maybe was his we've talked about, you know, new school, new me energy that will not be sustained. It's got a pretty scary 3-point percentage. But if he can, you know, be a finisher, if he can just take notes from Bruce Brown, he'll be fine. Yeah. He'll be great. And obviously his sort of defensive credentials are again why he was brought on in the first place. So all the other offenses just cherry on top, never really going to be important on a team with as much offensive talent as we have, Mike.
Yeah. The only tough thing about him is that it's going to be tough for him to play with James Harden led units because he can't shoot at all. Because Harden is optimized pretty much every scorer in the NBA. If he's surrounded by shooters, the Harden experience requires that from the wings, and Bembry can't shoot, absolutely cannot shoot. But he does fit nicely with the KD lineups. This team doesn't really have wing defender bro, and Bembry, it can be that to some degree. So you're going for a nice little upside. He could carve a nice little role as being like a smaller James Johnson, but a more flexible offensive player. I mean, they're kind of similar, just different sizes.
He had more like sort of fluid athleticism than I was expecting. Like he had, like what I was talking about, he had like a nice little reverse double clutch finisher thing or layup thing that I was like, wow, that did not expect that from Bembry. So like, I think he's got that in there. I highly doubt that that's not, like, at some point, it's just not going to be necessary to be doing that in the actual season. So, and I'm not expecting him to do that on a nightly basis or whatever, that his like, even if he does have a high ceiling, that we're ever going to be like, he's going to be given the opportunity to reach it. So there's that. But yeah, in general, I've liked what I've seen so far.
And I like that Marks is part of a team building thing. So many GMs just chase shooting at the cost of like everything else. And the Nets have such a nice benefit of being like, you know, most of the time we're going to have Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, and James Harden on the floor. We don't really need to chase shooting to that degree. And they're able to get a Bembry or James Johnson, two guys that aren't shooters, because they fill in these other roles and they're undervalued because of it. So who do you got with your last pick?
My last one, I'm going to go with David Duke Jr. Just because, I mean, I have no disrespect for any of these guys, but David Duke is the only one of the De'Ron Sharpe and Kessler Edwards that I've actually like seen do a thing. To this point, I mean, like I have no doubt that Kessler Edwards and De'Ron can get there. But like, as far as, you know, now we're at the way back end of the roster here, you know, you just want to see some spark of something going on. And I think I've seen that from David Duke Jr. to a small extent. He's feisty and he wants to be out there and he's like, oh, like who is that guy? You know, and that's all you can really hope for as your 15th dude on the roster.
Yeah. He's pretty, I mean, look at his stats from college. He every year, his points went up from freshman year. He was scoring 7 points a game to his junior year, which was 17 a game. His rebounds went up every year. His assists went up every year. He shot a pretty nice tidy percentage, 39% overall, or 38% overall from three as a college player, 77% from the line. Like when you watched him, as you said, it's like he makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, if this was old Nets where they sucked, we'd be asking for David Duke to start.
Yeah.
Now we're just asking him to play in Long Island and enjoy his experience.
Yeah.
So I have I can't imagine a world where he's like playing for the Nets. Which is why you screwed up, because De'Ron Sharpe could actually play.
You're wrong. I'll make a bet right now that David Duke Jr. touches actual floor before De'Ron Sharpe. $20.
Not the floor. I'll give you full season.
Just the floor. Just touches the. You want more minutes?
The floor over the season.
You want minutes per game total gross over the season?
Yes, gross.
I'll take David Duke Jr. $20.
I'll take De'Ron Sharpe. $1,000.
$1,000.
Get MGM. Call it.
I'm gonna be sending Polly Walnuts to break your legs in June. Okay, when these chickens have come to roost.
Brian. Yeah. Brian, let me ask you a question. Does Sean Marks draft big men well?
He does. He does.
Okay. De'Ron Sharpe.
He drafts everything well. He drafts everything well. Top to bottom.
Not foreigners.
Not foreigners. That's true. But who can? I mean, the foreigners are such a squirrely bunch. You never know.
The Nuggets. The Nuggets do it pretty well.
Yeah, true.
De'Ron Sharpe played for like the worst North Carolina team, the team that is forced Roy Williams to retire. He didn't. I mean, even his numbers weren't that good. 10 points per game, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 assists. I just like his attitude. I like that he played on the Montverde high school team with Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes. He played on like one of the greatest high school basketball teams of all time, and that he was a crucial piece to that team. His high school team was more talented than his college team. I trust in Mark. This is a Sean Marks bet. I trust him. I mean, it's my second to last pick. So what am I really trusting? But there is a world where De'Ron Sharpe develops. And like we're seeing more and more of him because he does have the body type. He's pretty big, not tall, not super tall, but he's chunks. He's got size, got heft, athleticism. I could see him playing.
Words, just empty words.
And, I mean, we only have one more player left on the board. Kessler Edwards.
That means I get Raekwon Gray. What's his name?
Yeah, who literally yeah. Raekwon Gray, Raekwon. Who we haven't seen since I discussed about like how excited was ever, it was about Raekwon.
Was that
Gray.
Like a false identity? Was that a fake name? Like I feel like I never saw that guy.
he doesn't exist anymore.
Just in the witness protection program. I don't even know where that guy is. He's gone.
And, like, I'm gonna look him up. I'm gonna make sure he's okay because I haven't seen him. Like, is he even on the Long Island Nets?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, weird.
No you news. Google him. He doesn't exist.
Nothing. He was drafted. He got drafted into the NBA. Where is he?
Did he even play in summer league?
Anyone know his whereabouts? Please call the authorities.
He's like Juan Pablo Valle, you know, the guest. Or Isaiah Cordner.
He's like Kaiser Sose.
He's American.
He's the Kaiser. He's the Kaiser. He's a ghost. He's gone.
You know, comparing him to Kaiser Kevin Sose? Spacey. Yeah. Jeez, Brian. Jeez.
Yeah, I will.
Cancel Brian. Do you want me to say anything about Kessler Edwards?
You don't have to, except that you love
seems
him.
Like a nice guy.
You like him a lot. And he's
I'm worried about his three-point shot.
He might start next to Kevin Durant on your scrubbilicious squad here.
Yeah, I kind of need him. Yeah. I need a shooting on my team. Yeah. To recap, I have Kevin Durant, Nick Claxton, Patty Mills, Kyrie Irving, and the players that Kyrie Irving will bring back in a trade. Bruce Brown, Cam Thomas, Javon Carter, Dameron Sharp, and Kessler Edwards. Brian has Raekwon Gray. David Duke.
start with the top.
Yeah,
I've got Kevin Durant.
James Johnson, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, and some guy named James Harden.
I win.
We will put out on Twitter who won, Brian or Mike, in this draft. I feel like I feel like that was a good exercise. Oh, do you want to do Squid Game real quick?
I don't think we can.
Okay. We need to do it. You need to watch and then
I'll finish it.
Squid Game's kind of a
big
show.
I got one last episode. I'll finish it.
And I have Squid Game thoughts that I'd like to put to you.
I get it.
I just want to, just for prosperity's sake, the Justin Hamilton I Lied on My Resume Award, you know, I don't know. I don't have one for that. Did you have someone?
I had like Paul Millsap as a throw in, but it doesn't, nobody on this, you know, we don't, the only one who's lied on his resume is Raekwon Gray, who just lied that he's a real person that is actually in the world. He just lied. He didn't lie on his resume. He lied on his social security, his birth certificate. He's just a made up person. That's the only, that's the only one.
The only one I got is the five dimensional Mahjong, which was Brian's special. Last year I said it was Kyrie's media policy. This year it's Kyrie's medical policy.
Smart. Like it.
It's like kind of similar words, you know. They look
the Randy Foy, I think I'm playing too much, could be a Javon Carter situation.
I think it's LaMarcus Aldridge potentially.
I would have said LaMarcus Aldridge until I drafted him on my team, and then I changed it to one of your guys.
The Reggie Evans more frustrating than fun. I don't know. This is a pretty fun team.
Pretty fun. There's not a whole lot of threat of that.
I guess Kyrie technically, not for his play, but just as a the experience of Kyrie Irving is not that fun.
It is traipsed into more frustrating than fun for sure at this moment.
And Jason Collins' unseeable stats. You know, like James Johnson, Bembry are both like nice.
That's all they've ever trafficked in is unseeable stats their whole lives.
Yeah. Floaty candidates and the Andrea Bargnani. Mike is probably more excited, but ultimately won't do well.
It's Kessler Edwards, and it's not close.
Nah.
or Dayron Sharp. Let's call it like you see him.
Basically, my entire team.
Yeah.
If I'm going to look at it.
Yeah. Let me actually squint. Yeah. Like, could Kevin Durant registers for me?
Really glass half full.
Yeah.
Like Nick Claxton's probably not going to play that much. Okay. Well, the season has started.
So
Brian and I will be potting much more. We'll be doing live YouTube shows as well. Get people jump in those comments, and we're going to be talking to you on the YouTubes.
Discord. Shout out to the Discord. Link to join. It's an invitational link. It's in the Twitter bio. It's also in the description of the YouTube video where you should smush the subscribe because 75% of you are not subscribed. So we got to get that taken care of. And then we got a shout out to Nets Daily. And at BK Glue Guys on Twitter and The Athletic. We're going to Michigan. We're going to Ohio. We're going to West Virginia.
That really made an impact on you, didn't it?
Just anytime I have to like rattle off, you know, things, it just goes right into Howard Dean mode. I can't help it.
I was listening to a Paul McCartney interview and talk about like he wasn't an interview, it was the documentary he did with Rick Rubin where they broke down his songs. And like he even was like, sometimes we didn't know how to end songs, so we just go like blah and then they would just end.
Yeah.
Right. And for you, it's like,
yeah, exactly. Howard Dean.
That's your blah.
That's where I go.
It's like blah.
It's a yaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks everybody.
Happy season.
That's getting chopped.